Well, I'd like to ask you, as I often do, how many of you read the readings before you came to church today? Doing your homework? Okay, a few of you. Good number of you. Wonderful. We're just beginning in Matthew's Gospel, and we have a whole new cycle to walk through this church year. And today, we are called to ponder, if you will, the Beatitudes. And I'm wondering, I was just told before Mass today, and I did not think to do this, so I won't copy him, but last night at Mass, Father Bill asked how many could recite the Ten Commandments. How many of you could recite the Ten Commandments? And then, some of you can. All right, somebody raised her hand. Good. Good for you. He asked, how many of you can recite the Beatitudes? I don't know that I could do that. Well, why are the Beatitudes so important? Because if we were to take a look at Matthew's Gospel, we would see that chapters 5 through 7 will give us the new charter for living as members of God's kingdom. Ten Commandments, okay. Jesus has come as the new Moses, and he's giving a new way to live as members of God's kingdom. Not just the following of laws, but living a spirit or an attitude that says, I am anchored in God. Well, that's another question we could ask ourselves. What really is at the core of our lives? You know, spiritual writers tell us that there's a spiritual longing, a hunger inside of us for something that we have not yet achieved. And of course, we know that there are people who seek money and wealth and power and esteem of others and so on. But is God really at the core of our lives? And if God is at the core of our lives, how are we going to be present? Will people notice the difference if we are continually growing in that relationship with God? So, let's just take a look, for instance, at a few of the Beatitudes today and see what's going on. You know, in one of the Beatitudes, Jesus says, blessed are the meek. How do you interpret that? You know, I think some people today might say that means weakness. But it really isn't weakness at all. It means an inner strength. And it's how we are present to others, not trying to dominate them, but rather respecting them for who they are and interacting with them and seeing ourselves as on a journey together in the world in which we live. So let's just take a look at a couple of the other Beatitudes here. Blessed are they who mourn. They will be comforted. Now, I know that when we lose a loved one, we all mourn the loss of that person. And it takes some of us a long time to grieve. But what do you mourn about in the world today? I can tell you some things that I mourn about. Did you see the story about the 5-year-old boy who was arrested with his father in their own yard and then shipped from Minneapolis to Texas? And the mother and another child were left in Minneapolis. I mourn that. Did you read how Ukraine is finding that their defenses are thin along some of their borders, giving Russia an advantage again in the unjust attack that is taking place there? And when we look at some of the folks who are living in towns that have been bombed, and some of the people who have been maimed, losing a leg or whatever, do you mourn then? I think that reading the newspaper can be a spiritual reading. If we see ourselves as part of everything in the world. Even I read an article about how our government is somehow shutting down windmills and wondering if that has anything to do with, you know, climate change and taking care of the world in which we live, the world that God has given us, the creator of all that exists. So I wonder about that, and I mourn sometimes because I think of different places such as the Colorado River that is drying up and is not going to be available to provide the fresh source of water that people will need in the future if things don't change. So we've got plenty to mourn about in the world today, Gaza, Israel, and so on. But let's look at one of the others here. Do you hunger and thirst for righteousness? Righteousness means wanting what God wants for the world. Why? Because God loves. And I remember, again, from my scripture classes, God's love is called hesed in the Old Testament. It goes way back then. And hesed means God's merciful love. So God loves everything and everybody and wants everything to thrive and to exist the way God intended it to exist. And yet we know so many things in the world are not that way. But do I love as God loves? You know? Hungering and thirst for righteousness. I see advertisements coming from Steve Szymanski, whom I see in the back of church there, about protesting ICE. You know? Is that thirsting and hungering for righteousness? I think it is. Anybody who goes out and protests today the atrocities that are taking place, the inhumanity against our fellow human beings, I think that is another way that we manifest something of God's love, and that takes courage. And notice that if Jesus continues to go through the Beatitudes, if he were here today, he would remind us that if you try to live this way, you're not going to be popular all the time. There are going to be people who oppose you. And so you must somehow be rooted and anchored in God. And you know, if we were on that mountain overhearing what Jesus was originally speaking to the disciples, we would begin to say, he's not only speaking to those who are going to be part of his mission, but he's speaking to all of us if we're going to be part of the kingdom. And so that's something for all of us to consider today. Many of us remember the old-timers here among us, the Baltimore Catechism and all of those kinds of things that we had to memorize, and, of course, the Ten Commandments. All of that was fine for then. But for now, I think we would do well to take out our Bibles, maybe this afternoon, open them up to Matthew's Gospel, start reading chapters 5 through 7. That's the new charter for how we should be living in the world today. And it's based and grounded in how much we love God and how much we recognize and accept the love that God has for us and for everybody.